Hey guys, it's Kelsey. You hear that? It's tea time.
When you first had David, and she told you that she was pregnant.
Total shock and amazement.
Oh yeah?
Absolute shock. Still in the military. Kim and I were still over in Korea. We're still in country, still in South Korea.
Yeah.
We barely got her on the plane to get her out of the country. She delivered like a week after we got back to the States.
Oh my gosh.
Okay. Barely got back. It was like a miracle they let me bring her back to begin with. I almost really got stuck over there.
Okay, Jennifer. Are you ready to know about who created or rather promoted Father's Day?
Yes.
So they call her the mother of Father's Day, right? Mm-hmm. Her name is Sonora Smart Dodd. Do you want to know why she started Father's Day?
Why?
Because her dad was a single parent of six kids.
Oh.
Yeah. So Jennifer and Daniel was raised by their dad as a single parent with their half-brother, David. Is that okay if I talk about that? Okay.
Yeah.
So for Sonora, Miss Dodds, she did it because Mother's Day was enacted like a couple years beforehand. Mm-hmm. She was like, what about fathers? Because her single dad. And he was actually a war vet from what it says here. Yeah, he was a war vet. And she literally had to get it signed by the YMCA. Guess where?
Where?
Spokane, Washington. Gosh. In 1910.
Wow.
Yeah, but she was petitioning for it since 1908. And the reason why she was petitioning for it in 1908 was because they actually celebrated Father's Day. And it was a commemorate for 362 men who were accidentally killed or were killed in a mine in West Virginia church. And she actually had it signed by Mark H. Wheeler and George A. Forbes. I looked up some information. All I know is that they worked at the YMCA in Spokane, Washington. Mm-hmm. And I believe that's the first YMCA in Washington. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, YMCA was like in the earlier years,
yeah,
created in Europe.
So, yeah, I'm actually glad that happened because, like I said, like Dan, I, and David only had our dad for the longest time. And at the back then, it was out of the norm for our father to take custody instead of the mother and raise us, because my father always told us that he would never abandon his kids. He had four children, or there's five children, and he had four children. And he would never abandon any of us. And also in this too, Dan and I are going to have different opinions on this too and how we were raised, because even though we grew up in the same household, we were raised differently by our father. We are going to have different stances. We're going to have different...
Yeah.
And it's not a bad thing. It's just how Dad raised us. And in the end of the day, we love our father. We love him,
yeah,
a lot.
But Daniel, what was it like growing up with like a single dad before he got married again? He got married again, right? After
he got married a bunch of times. But,
okay, but so before a mother figure, what was it like, Daniel, being a boy? You know, like being a son in a single dad environment. What was it like?
It was probably very easy on my dad. Because we're
for
both
you?
Boys.
No, Jennifer's a girl.
That's
so mean.
You're a tomboy. Doesn't matter. So,
ouch.
For how he raised you, because he would talk to me about you all the time. So,
thinking back, there was actually a couple of times, especially when we were younger, that there were women in our lives. Some tried to be mother figures, but anyways, the period of time when it was just my sister, my brother, and myself was a very specific time in the middle. So what mm-hmm. happened was, well, I was born in Columbus, Georgia. My family moved to Kalamazoo, Michigan. That's when my sister was born.
Kalamazoo, what do you do?
During that during that time, we had our biological mother was fine up to that point. When Jennifer was born, I think due to a medical issue or a mental relapse or something like that, she wasn't able to mentally take care of us on a mental level. Like, I forgot what it was called. Like,
an emotional postpartum.
I think it was postpartum. She got.
But she had already had something that exists, and it just created a way worse reaction.
She was highly depressed. Everything else, based on what my father told me. And it got to a point where I could be wrong, but I'm thinking, my understanding is, I think the custody to my father, I think it was choice by her end.
Yeah, it was. It was by her end.
She said, I think she couldn't handle us or something like that because of her mental state.
That's why it could be.
And then she surrendered to my father.
Yeah, otherwise we would have to stay in state.
We didn't know that she was pregnant with Jennifer until way into the pregnancy with Daniel. Okay. They didn't have the technology. Nobody took pictures. Nobody really cared back then. Okay. And it was a complete surprise when they told me, it's like, you know, you're going to have twins. Or not twins, you're going to have two. Right?
So wait. She was pregnant with Daniel and then was pregnant with me at the same
time? Exactly. Right.
Wait, what?
What?
Yes.
We're 11 months apart, though.
About a month. Yeah.
About a month. So she was, she just gave birth to Daniel, and then she was pregnant already with, like, started getting pregnant with me.
Yes.
Right.
Like, a couple months after. Okay.
Exactly.
Mom was trying to do the math, too. She's like, wait, hold on.
So I was like, are they twins and you've been lying to them the whole time?
Yeah, it sounds like with your birthdays that Daniel was born, and then immediately Tina got pregnant, and then you were born.
Yep.
Is that right?
That's right.
That's how it is. So,
let's go back to your dad. Was he a good dad?
Yeah, he was a good dad.
Was he a mess?
No, he wasn't. Actually, I think it was because thanks to...
I know.
I think it was because the military and the fact that he had practice because of our older brother, David. He was actually a really responsible parent, and he was doing good things. He does a lot of stupid things, and he opens and admits it. In fact, he told me specifically, like, he kind of says, do as I say, not what I do kind of thing, because he does a lot of things and he admits to it. But that he's actually a good parent. Yeah. He taught us basic responsibility. He taught us consequences of our actions. Jennifer and I have done all sorts of stupid things, but he still forgave us, loved us, and everything else. He was he's a lot more mellowed out now, but back then he was a very stern parent.
Yeah.
It was the fact because he was by himself.
Yeah.
He didn't have a lot of mothers and stuff, but back to the time lapse of the story. So after we lived in Madison County, Michigan, and then the custody was given up to
your dad.
My dad, thank you. And I'm trying to reflect at the same time. There was actually one woman in our life after that, and that gave birth to our youngest brother, Justin. I have a couple things to say here. She was not a good mother at whatsoever.
Oh, let's pay attention to your dad.
Yeah, no, but I'm just talking about... You asked me a question. I'm answering your question. So I'm saying that, moving a different conversation, but I'm just reflecting at the same time. This is the only way I can articulate my thought.
Yeah.
So that happened. And then after we did that, we met another woman... Molly's mom, I forgot her actual name.
We won't say names.
Molly's was family.
And I know her name.
And then after that, that's when we had a time lapse that we didn't have a mother figure.
So,
the fact that they didn't have a responsible parent, because I had to go to school, I was going to school full time, doing my undergraduate work. And they had to pawn them off with various babysitters, which I really weren't happy about. And then it kind of forces you not to make excuses and get into relationships with women that end up being surrogate mom and watching kids, and you're not happy with them because these women are idiots anyway. Okay. Tina did not want to be a mother. Okay. She did it because she had to.
I know this is going to be hard to talk about, or it's not, and this might be hard for you, Jennifer.
Yeah.
Because this is called the good, the bad, the dad for a reason.
Yeah.
The bad. Is there anything that hurt you the most that came from your father, Daniel?
I'm just thinking. I think the biggest thing that kind of upset me the most was my dad was getting sick and tired because I didn't have a job yet. And he didn't say it, but I could tell. He gave me a paper that he got from work. It had different school listings, job listings, or things like that. There was an ad in there for the Aviation Institute of Maintenance. It all went south so quickly, and I think that actually hurt our relationship a little bit because... So I told my dad, hey, I'm ready to move on in the world. I want to go to school, and all I need is a flight ticket to go down to Texas. And at first, he was really cool with it, right? We were greenlit for the thing, and then at the last second, to not only flip on it, but to say I'm wrong, saying that I can't go. And it was kind of weird for me, and it took me some time to get over it.
It's hard to say, and it's probably gonna be hard for Dad to hear too. But yeah. I don't know if he realizes it or not, but this also comes from my actions as well. But he did the same thing to me as well, where he would agree to one thing that I wanted to do, and then a while later he would disagree with it. But for a while, him and I had trust issues because certain actions I took led to him no longer trusting me to be in control of my life. So he felt that he had to step in. And we had this conversation, and now we're building that trust again. And I think the big part of it is because he was not because of financial reasons. That's just an excuse. I think it's because he told me one time that he was afraid of losing us, because it was even more so than when our brother David passed away. He's always been very protective of his children. And I think it comes from him being abandoned when he was younger, because he was abandoned when he was 16 years old. Like, no one wanted to raise him. After that, he didn't talk to his siblings for decades, and he had to go to the military. So he had to deal with that. And I think he kind of brought it into how he raised us in that way. It's just that he didn't want to be alone. That was the major thing. That's why I felt like he always was in relationships and all, because he could never be alone. And having one of the kids there, like, yeah, like, he wanted us to have our freedom, but at the same time, it's like, he wanted us close.
I want to do a legacy for you guys, so you guys get to know who your biological grandma was.
Yeah, because, and I think this is why you have a hard time, too, with us, because because of that disconnect, we tend to disconnect from our, like, not immediate family. So even with, like, we love our nieces to death, we love our nephews to death, we love our sister-in-laws to death and all that. It's just that because of that disconnect, we don't have a longer distance from you.
You're like treated like a fourth, fifth cousin.
It's just that I see them, okay, they're a distant relative at that point. I have my circle right here. I have my family I need to focus on. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to go home. I'm going to interact with them.
Was your dad consistently in your life, or was he always working?
He was always working. He was working in school.
Okay, so did you guys feel like there was a wall between your dad, because your dad was...
I know Dad has some emotional stuff because of how he was raised. So he does have scars, and he does handle emotions differently than Dan and I would. But for me, being raised as a female, he was more strict with me because I was his only daughter. And he only cared about what was my safety. So it's just like, he always warned me about going out, making sure there was people, always call him and all that, just because I'm a female. And that was the only fear I was brought up as, is being female. And I'm always cautious of going out and all that, and that was the only thing. But he let it basically have free rein. Yeah, it's just the only thing that I noticed, like, with him, was that he was sometimes get emotionally distant, and that kind of affected us in that way. But like I said, it was a product of his environment, because I feel that him showing emotion when he was younger wasn't a good thing.
Okay, so... do you guys think that your guys' expectation from your father was the same or different from each other?
I can only speak for myself. I know that I had a high expectation on me. He wanted to make sure that I was doing good in school, making sure I was staying out of trouble, making sure that I was being productive at home, doing chores and things like that. When I was growing up, I was 10 to, I don't know the expectations that Jennifer had, or my dad had expectations of Jennifer, but I knew the expectations I have for myself and my father was, he was the type of person who wanted to come home with a clean house. He wanted to make sure the chores was done. He wanted to make sure our homework was done. And he wanted to make sure, I think that was just a military in him. He just wanted a clean environment.
Yeah, and I felt the same way for me. It's just that because he knew I knew better, that if I didn't do what was expected, then I would get talked to. Because Dad always uses words, and that always jumped. Because Dan, he could bring Dan and I to tears just by his words. And it's not mean words. It's just words, like if he was disappointed in us, or if he wanted to let us know how much he loved us. It's just his, he has such a way with words that it moved you. And he has such a presence that he can just walk into a room and talk to you, and you're just like, you're enthralled. That's just, he's just amazing with his words. I knew, Dan and I knew that if he had a talk with us, we were in trouble. Like, even the timeout, it was worse than the timeout, was when he had to talk to us. And I was like, shit, we messed up. But yeah, I always knew that because I always was hard on myself and had to be a certain way. And I think my dad picked up on that. I just felt that, like, same thing with Dan, that we just had a, he had higher expectation of us. Because I think he's wanted us to do better than him.
He just wants us to have a good future.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I have a really good one. You guys can answer simultaneously or together. Who thinks they got most favored by their dad?
Me.
Jen.
So, I didn't think I would have any boys, or girls, rather. And it's like, I got a girl. Now, how am I supposed to deal with this?
Oh, you're fine.
And I
you and mom, when I had the trouble time when I first got my period stuff, mom was there.
Right. Like, how am I supposed to deal with this?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah.
It's a hair issue, the clothes issue. Oh my gosh. You were happy. You didn't care.
No. You know. He just threw me to women. So, like, when David got married to Oriel and all that, he just threw me at him. He's like, do whatever you need to do with girl's hair. And we tried. Kelly tried doing my hair. You tried doing my hair. I'm like, just have fun with her. I was crying my eyes out because it hurt no matter who did my hair. And I'm just like, this sucks, man. It looked nice, but cornrows hurt. Getting my hair brushed hurt. Getting my hair done hurt. And I'm just like, I got brushed specifically for my hair type so it doesn't hurt when I brush it anymore.
Good.
Yeah. The only year we didn't have a problem with our hair was when her and Daniel and Justin got head lice.
Oh, yeah.
So Christine went and shaved all their heads. Completely.
Why do you feel that way, Daniel, that he favored your sister more than you?
Just give me a list of this team. We'll talk about it.
Oh, that's fine. You can talk about it. We already know that we talk a lot about this, so I already know what's going on. But yeah, you can talk away, Dan. That was part task upstairs.
Bless you, by the way. So.
I got allergies.
It makes more sense with Dad and Jennifer.
Yeah.
Because Jennifer was his only daughter. Everything else. Dad knew 100% how to raise David and I. Mm-hmm. It's like,
David.
Yeah. Because we were, to be fair, we were more likely to be a pain in the ass than Jennifer was to Dad. When Dad and I had a conversation about this once, because he said boys are always going to be a pain in the ass. Because when he was raising us, he was thinking how he was going to be raised, how he was raised. How to make sure that we don't get treated how he was treated as such forth. But he knew, he wanted to emphasize in us, I'm speaking David and myself, that we had a higher expectations because we were the ones who are most likely to, not me saying the mean way to Jen, but we're most likely the ones who's going to be out there in the world. We're going to be one who's going to be making those big financial decisions.
Sounds like a stereotype.
Well, Dad, said it wasn't. No offense to Dad, but he is a little bit sexist. I love you, Dad. I love you so much.
Dad raised David and I to a more stern, more harsher things like that, because I think he was trying to prepare us more for the outside world. It's like, I think Dad had an impression that you're going to stay with him or something like that.
Yeah.
Or he knew that you didn't want to go anywhere. Like,
but I was more adventurous one than you were.
He knew that the first chance I get, I'm going to leave the house.
Yeah.
It's like, I was going to get a job, I was going to move out, and everything like that. And we had a conversation, like, if he had the choice and I was ready for it, he would kick me out of the house when I was 18. Several times he tried to make me go to the military when I was still in school because he wanted me out of the house.
Yeah, he did the same thing to me, too. Like, not kick me out, but wanted me to try the military, too.
It's a
parenting thing, right? Yeah. Like, it's what he was raised with because that's how he viewed being a parent.
He was hard on me and David because he wanted us to succeed. That's why. He didn't raise us to be touchy on feelings. He didn't raise us things like that. No, he says that the world is hard. It's going to be harsh. You need to be ready for it. And that's why he was harder on me and David, because he wanted to make sure that we have the most opportunity and the most outcome where we're going to be successful in life.
But at the same time, he was also hard on me as a female too. So it goes both ways. So he was also hard on me as well. So like, he had to be more emotional because I am a more emotional of the siblings.
Was it sleeping in the car?
when we left Michigan, coming to Seattle, I took him, put them in the back of a Ford Nissan Pulsar.
Yeah, I remember that car.
Tiniest little car in the universe. And drove them cross country. That was the best time we have ever had going across country.
Because they saw David, stuff. Daniel, and I.
Yeah. Saw stuff and ate different foods, and it was just absolutely wonderful. And there are points in the United States I'd never seen before.
Okay. So I took the muffler and I just threw it off the cliff.
I mean, the car basically, the engine basically exploded as soon as we crossed the state line.
As soon as we got to
Red, it said, "Welcome to Washington." Boom.
Oh my God.
And it's a miracle that car made it across the United States. A complete miracle.
With no muffler.
No muffler. And the compression was gone, so we were driving the last few days of it. We couldn't go over 20 miles per hour.
What is your guys' funniest and craziest memory and with your dad? I like mine. Mine's is when he almost burned the house down with his like relatively new barbecuer. And we're just like, what? That's my favorite story.
Yeah. Dan, what's your favorite story with dad?
Our food fight.
Dad and I tend to have a lot of laughs, and we're goofy together, and we're nerds together because we're both geeks. Because my geekism comes from him. My dad has always been my best friend too, because we can talk about so many things and not be uncomfortable, or we can have our opinion not be uncomfortable, because I feel like there's a line between a parent and a child, and we don't have that line. It's just a great feeling, you know, being able to freely talk to your parent without being judged. That's what it is that I don't feel like I'm being judged as their child, you know what I mean? Because there is a certain point where dad does put down like, hey, you are my kid.
You guys, you remember Miss Dobbs and how they call her the mother of Father's Day?
Yeah.
Guess which president put it as a national holiday?
Which president?
Guess.
I'm not going to guess. I'm terrible at my presidency. Daniel, you have good memory. What was the president at that time period? It was 1920s, right?
No, it was not Eisenhower. Who was it?
See, these two are the memory people. I'm just like, I don't. I'm
I
sorry.
Just, I don't want to say it because I don't want to say the wrong president.
It's fine. It's trivia. Yeah. If you want to, okay, guess what year it was finally enacted to national holiday?
Well, it was after 1920s, right? Is when she came back. Yeah. So 1930s.
No, 1940s.
1940s.
Nope. President Nixon in 1972.
Oh, shit.
many years later.
I didn't realize it was so that. Recent. That's recent.
No, yes, yeah, very recent. Your dad was already born at this point.
That's
yeah.
Crazy.
Your petitioners therefore urge you to set apart the third Sunday of June to be known as Father's Day and suggest the use of the rose as a suitable flower.
Oh, Dad likes roses.
Is there a message that you guys want to say to your dad for Father's Day?
You're a good parent.
Wow. You're a good parent.
I am truly grateful that you're my father, and I'll never change that you're my father, and I have great respect for you and how you raised the three of us. And that you're always a great father, Dad. Don't ever question how you are as a father, because you raised us the best you could and how you were raised yourself. So I'm proud of you and love you, and I miss you. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Okay, so I'm going to read just a small section from it's called the Official Alliance document
of Spokane, Washington. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to read a section. I think you guys are going to love this.
That's the end of that. Thanks for listening.